3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Wednesday edition, the RIP to George Wendt, Norm from Cheers.
Don't bring that up to start the show, man. Makes me sad.
Celebrating his incredible life, but it is sad, and I hope Jesus and the crew upstairs welcomed you back up there with a hearty Norm as you walk through the pearly gates edition. The Jason Kelce is in Minneapolis on behalf of the Eagles this morning, lobbying owners to keep the tush push.
Well, Jason should keep playing then and go tush push.
Good luck to you, sir, edition. And the live from Trapper's Turn. So we get a spotlight on that guy and his cup of mud.
Is it bad luck to set up a tent inside? Because it's bad luck to open up an umbrella inside, right?
I'm going to say no, unless there's a mirror and a black cat nearby.
Okay.
Tausch, live on remotes. Only Tausch, though, I don't see Jesse. Did you leave him behind?
I don't love that either. Jesse, I don't know what Jesse's doing. I don't even want to get into this morning already. I'm already annoyed with everybody but Laney.
Oh.
Everybody but Laney, I'm annoyed.
Hunter tells me I cannot be seen on video with Tausch, so I'm going to hang out
with you. With where the camera is set up, we are cutting off Tausch, and considering the name of the show is Wilde and Tausch, I thought let's have Tausch be the priority.
Okay, well, there you go.
Edition of Wilde and Tausch, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, theoretically, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and, of course, everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde. I'm in Green Bay. Hunter Vaughn is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios and somewhere off camera, bringing a big smile to the big fella's face, alongside Jesse Nelson, although I don't have any video evidence thereof, it is the Packers Hall of Famer. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
You don't sound like it, frankly.
No, I'm fine. I don't want to get into it. So let's just move along. Your George Wendt stuff makes me sad. I heard that yesterday, and I'm not going to lie to you. Cheers, I've told you many times, I think is the I think it's the greatest sitcom we've ever seen. If you look back at how it was structured and the fun that it was brought, and Norm and Georgie, like, that's as good of a character development as we've seen. So to see him pass, a little bit of my childhood Thursday night, and people don't even, they can't comprehend the fact that you used to sit around. You'd have old chairs and couches and love seats, and you'd literally sit around Thursday nights on NBC, and you'd sit with your family and watch Cheers. And then I don't remember what was on after, but that was a part of my childhood, and, man, I loved that show, and it hit me a little bit when I saw that that happened.
So I believe the lineup was The Cosby Show, Family Ties, Cheers, and Night Court?
I think they switched it. The goats were obviously Cosby and Cheers, and then I think they kind of sprinkled and trying to, you know, expand it. But the staples were that. And then I believe the show Wings was also a big component. I know how much you guys remember when we did Wings trivia that time.
It was very popular.
That was a big hit as well.
So if that was such a crucial part of your childhood.
I'd say crucial.
Well,
don't put words in my mouth. I said it was.
It's going to be one of those days. You sat around sitting with your family watching Cheers every week. Would you like a better word than crucial? Fine. You come up with it. All I would say is you put it ahead of Seinfeld and you quote Seinfeld all the time. Is that nostalgia talking or is that your actual opinion?
I think it's probably prisoner of the moment and a little nostalgia. Probably both. But it just, I guess it made me sad. And I like to emphasize how I'm feeling when I come on the show.
Feel your feelings.
Yes.
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
Although Matt LaFleur.
I'm not trying to be grumpy and grouchy. That's what it made me feel.
You don't have to try.
You are such a blank blank.
And so where are you today? And what are you doing?
What are you doing? I'm at a golf course, the Tellurian Golf Course. Been a part of, I think, almost as long as probably the Greater Bucky Open. I think we've been out here, this is probably our seventh year, something like that. We always have, there's always a ton of great guests. I'm working on getting, I saw the list of guests. And you got Gilbert Brown and Frankie, and you got a really good crew.
Dorsey Levin's my favorite guy I've ever covered.
Have put a request in to get Dorsey. I've put a request in. I think we're going to try to get Robert Brooks because of the wide receiver spot. And in fairness, I did not know that Bryce Paup might be here. And Bryce Paup, I think, is one of those guys who ended up going on. And I've always asked this question. Who has left Green Bay and had a better career post-Green Bay?
Bryce Paup
might be one of those guys. And those are kind of – Leroy Butler, I think, is going to be out here. Obviously, Gilbert and that crew. So – we'll try and corral a couple of guests. It's always fun. We've had Don Majkowski on many times. He's been great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where we're at.
And what exactly is Jesse's role?
I don't know. I don't know.
We're not sure at this point, Jason.
But you're there, and we can't get a camera angle that includes you, which I would argue is not necessarily a bad thing. I'm just curious by that decision.
I think I'm going to be getting up here and helping corral some of the guests here to hop on as the morning goes on. I can play meteorologist if you'd like to. Raining now, been raining for like 48 hours, probably not going to golf today.
Oh, no. It's that bad?
No, we are going to be golfing at 11 o'clock.
Whose hand are you shaking?
So we're going to have Robert Brooks join us. Do you want to do it now or do you want to wait? Let's do it now.
Lead off strong. Go for it.
No, we're going to get right out of the gates, Jason. Robert Brooks in the house today. He's at the Tellurian Pudding.
Will we be able to
Let's
see
get Robert on this. There. Let's see if we can do that.
What's going on?
We still can't see him.
It's a little cold.
I'm not in charge of the tech part of this operation, so.
Well, welcome in, Robert Brooks. From the Tellurian Golf.
Robert, do you remember Jason Wilde as the beat guy? You know, I'm trying to remember what year
just
you left
a kid
Green
then.
Bay. He was a young whippersnapper, had a hula hoop earring.
Okay.
Hula hoop.
How else would you describe yourself, Jason, to Robert if he doesn't remember you?
So my first year covering the team was 96, and obviously that was when Robert suffered his knee injury.
Yep.
And then he came back in 97 and had... 1,000-yard season alongside Antonio Freeman, and I wrote a big story for the yearbook about the dynamic duo that those two became. But you had also mentored Free, and it was kind of you and Sterling Sharp were kind of the start of the lineage of always having these great number one wide receivers, which makes it perfect for us to talk to you because the Packers haven't had one since they moved on from Devontae Adams. When you look back on the succession that you guys used to have from Sharp to you and you to Free and Free to Donald Driver and so on, what did that mean for your locker room and for your wide receiver group that there was a clear-cut the guy in your group?
Well,
just having a guy, I mean, I think that it's great for the quarterback, great for the team. When you are the guy, though, you have to take it upon yourself to just kind of mentor the younger guys, because that's all it's going to do is make your team better. It's going to make your job easier. It's going to, you know, take away a lot of the double teams, and that was what my mentality was, where if I could help Free, if I can get him up to speed faster, you know, it helps me get open. You know, it helps our team win more games. So I think guys just have to take that upon themselves. Now, I don't know if that happened, where that gap fell off or where they fell off when somebody did not take it upon themselves to do that.
Well, when you don't have a guy who's accomplished like right. Sharp was and you were, there's not someone in there that's able to have that kind of juice with the guys. How did you – so you said it's important to have someone who mentors the guys because it makes everybody better. How did you go about doing that when it became your time to be that guy, 94, 95, 96?
Just being perfectly honest, you know, I came from the University of South Carolina where Sterling had just left. I was a freshman when he was a senior. Sterling, I watched him growing up as a running back. I was not a wide receiver when I was playing in high school. I got a scholarship as a running back. I decided to change to wide receiver because of Sterling. And when I got to Green Bay, to be honest, Sterling was the guy, you know, and I was there and I was a young guy. I didn't know him personally. We were not great friends, but what I did was I watched him. You know, I just took it upon myself. I want to watch this guy. He's the best that there is in the game right now, in my opinion, and I should watch him. And that's what I did. Then when Free came along, I realized that, hey, it was hurting Sterling when I was not up to speed. You know, he was getting double teamed, and I did not want that for myself. I was like, I'm tired of the double teams. I'm getting a slant, and I'm getting blasted by the safety. And my best bet is to get Free up to speed as fast as possible and absolutely dump any type of information and knowledge I can get on him.
Robert, did Sterling, did he help you at all besides you watching? So there wasn't like, hey, young fella, I need you to learn that lesson and said,
yes.
Because Sterling obviously was a big personality.
Yes.
The ball needed to go to him.
Absolutely.
That was never, correct me if I'm wrong, you wanted the ball, but that was never really how you viewed it.
Well, again, because I saw what it did to our team when Sterling was in that mentality. You know, we were good, but it was hurting the team a lot. You know, Brett would throw in the double coverage or triple cover sometimes because Sterling wanted the ball and we needed to get him a certain amount of touches. So when I got that, you know, a call to be the go-to guy, I don't know. I just decided myself I wasn't going to do it that way. Sterling was a guy who he led by his example. He showed up every day. He went to work. He did his business. He's a great student of the game. Coverage reading. You know, there were times when we would send him in motion and he would tell Brett what the coverage were, you know, early on. And so he was just very, very student.
Brett didn't know what a dime defense was for the longest time, too,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. You know, Sterling just, I think it was just there was a changeover. There was a changing of the guard that was happening, and he was in the middle of that. And I think it took away from what he probably would have done normally. Nobody was trying to step on his toes. We were all just trying to win, you know. So I think when I came up, I just took a different mentality about it.
Yeah, so how – because we had this discussion last year, and obviously Green Bay, very young receiving corps, and nobody is elevated to the point of a Robert Brooks, of a Free. Everybody is still kind of jockeying.
Yeah.
And the debate was Sterling is a star, and it takes a lot of oxygen. If you were a coach or a GM, how would you want to get your receiving corps? Would you want to have it where there's a definitive one, like a Justin Jefferson? Or would you rather have three or four really good players? How would you try to go about doing it?
Well, you have to have that guy. I mean, I think you have to have that guy. I think, but the type of guy that guy is going to dictate how your team goes. If that guy is a guy who he has to have the ball and he has to have a certain amount of touches and there is going to be some flack if he doesn't, it's going to create a problem, I think, going down the line when your young guys do start to develop and they start to get more touches and whatnot. I really think that the Packers have, you know, we just haven't had that guy who could delineate himself from all the other guys, and so he hasn't. You hadn't had anybody who could now be comfortable enough. I'm the guy, mm-hmm. you know. Now I can relax and I can. I know I'm not going to be, you know, put as the second receiver again. I'm the number one, and it's known. I think they just haven't had that. And once you get that title and once you say, they say you're going to be the go-to guy, they let you know. So you know you're going to get a certain amount of touches when you're the go-to guy.
Is the only way that happens from a financial standpoint?
I think, you know, the league's built on money. You know, you're going to play who you pay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it comes from the head coaches. It comes from the offense coordinator. He's got to let one of the guys know, listen, we're going to give you this amount of shots at it, okay? You're going to get 15 balls. You know, you're going to get 11 balls a game. The other guy's going to get five or six, you know, opportunities. And it's just that's the nature of the beast. I thought, personally, I like Dobbs. But I thought that they should have went his direction. Now the injuries with the concussions mm-hmm. was an issue, but I liked him and I thought that he could have developed into that kind of guy because he has a skill set. The other guys were more like role players, and that was my mentality. I really came in as a GM and said, "You're the guy," and let him know that. And I think that would have probably elevated and changed his mentality and how he approached things.
Yeah, how did Holmgren handle once – because with Sterling, as you mentioned, you had to keep Sterling happy or things were going to be a little eggshelly where you're walking around. Yep. And then when he got injured, did he kind of have a thought of, you know what, Robert Brooks and Free – Do you think he was relieved that he could then kind of almost go about his progressions and everything else and not having that guy?
Yeah, well, I think what happened in the offseason, Ron Wolf and Mike, they went out in the offseason and tried to get a bunch of guys after that. And they even tried to go get Andre during that time mm-hmm. in the offseason. Wasn't able to get in, so I was the go-to guy by default. And so in the summer, and just before training camp, Mike came to me and said, obviously, you know, we tried to go out and get guys, and he was honest about it. He wasn't able to do that. So, you know, you're our guy. You know,
nice confidence builder. Yeah. We wanted 15 guys. Yeah.
And people, I always tell the story. That was one of the reasons I started jumping in the crowd, and I took that to the next level because I wanted something to take the minds of the fans off of Sterling. Oh, so we don't have Sterling. We don't have a go-to guy. Now we're stuck with Robert Brooks, who we don't know what's going to come of him. So, you know, that was one of the reasons why I did that.
So how would you, if you were, because after the Packers drafted Golden, who the first time and you saw it with Mark Murphy, everybody's excited about it.
Yep.
How would you handle it if you, in that situation, you just said it, if they would have went out and picked up a bona fide, like a guy that they paid a bunch to, how would you handle it if you're Jaden Reed or Dontavian Wicks?
Right.
How would you approach this offseason going into the season after a draft that Green Bay just had?
Well, I think if I were one of those young guys, I would, you know, offseason would probably be my best offseason training and mental.
You would be frustrated. I mean, in-house with your family and your you would
absolutely
say, this, you know, what does this mean?
And those guys are playmakers. I mean, it's not like they're I just think they've been trying to spread the ball a little too much. You got to have a guy that when we get in these moments, he's going to get an opportunity to make a play, and we're going to win and lose with that guy. Okay, and I don't think they've done that. I think they're trying to spread the ball around a lot. And, you know, when you got a young quarterback, you kind of want to do that. You don't want him to have too much of a crutch, but you got to give him a crutch sometime, you know. And I think that's been the issue.
Talking with Packers Hall of Famer Robert Brooks live from the Tellurian Celebrity Golf Outing. For a guy that was just the default go-to guy, in 1995 – Robert Brooks caught 102 passes for 1,497 yards and 13 touchdowns, including that 99-yard touchdown catch. Is that your greatest?
What play
is that
was
your favorite?
What play was that?
Sluggo.
Sluggo.
Yeah, yeah. We're
you had a corner that bit.
Well, you know, we're playing the Bears, and the defensive back that we're playing that I was playing against played for Clemson, so we had some some history. And so going into that game, we had practiced Sluggo, but we knew Mike Holmgren was never going to call Sluggo backed up.
Not on the one, yeah.
No, because we got him tight, Mike. You know, so tight Mike's never going to call that. So we're backed up, and we get on the one-yard line, and Brett comes to the huddle. He gets the play, and he comes and he said, "Brooksy, you're not going to believe this." I said, "What?" He said, "We got Sluggo." And he, And he goes, let's eat. And I said, let's eat. That was it. We had practiced it all week. We knew they were going to be a little aggressive on it. We didn't think Mike was going to call it, to be honest with you. We thought he'd never call it.
When did you know? Like, did you know when he was jumping that slant? Like, when did you know this was going to the house?
We knew all week that if he called the play, it's going to the house. Because, number one, he's not going to catch me.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I catch you, he's not going to catch me. The play looked so good in practice. We had a chance that Mike would call it. But if a play didn't look good in practice, Mike would throw it out. So he didn't throw it out. You know, so we knew it looked good, but we just – like, Mike's never going to call Sluggo backed up. He's going to punt the ball. You know, he's going to, you know, run Edgar Bennett up the middle and punt the ball. Right?
But you're tight, Mike. Was Mike tight?
Oh, yeah. He was seriously tight. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Total eggshells, man. You got to walk on eggshells all the time.
Robert, yeah. you mentioned jumping in the stands. And I have to tell you, I got rid of most of my – CDs from the 90s, sold them at some recycling place, but I kept my autographed copy of Jump in the Stands. I still have it.
Great song.
Can you still sing it?
Oh, yeah. I'm working on a new song. Got a new one.
Really?
Jeez.
Here's the sad thing. I have had this song written, not recorded, but written, had the music done, everything for it, for almost however long it's been since Rogers was talking about retiring. It's like 10 years.
Okay.
But seriously. And I was like, dude, can you retire so I can write? Because it's about love and it's about LaFleur and all those guys. It's really to kind of spark them and do some inspiration. Because I think that's what Jump in the Stands did for our team.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it was inspirational, got the fans involved. It was a special time, you know.
Well, when you're ready to launch it, I know a radio show that would be willing to help you do that.
We sing on this show all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. Okay. Fridays, we sing much to the chagrin of much of our audience.
Well, I'm in the mixing stage right now. I mixed it on the plane when I was coming here.
Wow.
Go back, do my parts, and it's going to be coming soon, very soon.
All right.
All right. Well, you'll hear it here first, hopefully, on Wildy and Tausch.
I'll make sure I get a phone number from somebody. I'll call you first. How about that?
That's awesome.
That'd be perfect. Yes, Tausch can give you my number. Now, let me ask you this, though, because this is why I brought it up. You talked about why you did it. Yep. Obviously, and I think Leroy is scheduled to appear at Tellurian as well, right?
He is, yes.
I always found it fascinating. You know, he's in the Hall of Fame. He uses the Lambo Leap as a great marketing tool for him, along with his gold jacket. But I always said he invented it, but you perfected it.
Yeah,
do you feel like you get enough credit for that?
Look at Wildy stirring that pot.
Listen,
this is what he does. He's a pot stirrer.
If you look at the film, I mean, he jumped in this crowd that one time in 93.
Uh-huh.
94, nobody jumped in the crowd. He didn't. It was not even a thing in 94. And in 95, when I started doing it, it became this, you know.
So Leroy and Reggie, that Oakland game, that was one and done?
Yeah.
And then they went a full season with nothing?
Yeah, I know your history.
Is that right?
100%.
Yes. Wow.
That's the real story.
And you just decided to get it back.
Because of Sterling and the situation with the fans and how I became the default go-to guy, I decided I'm gonna jump in the crowd. So that's the way the story is told. I said, Roy, I'm going to use that gesture, my man. And I proceeded to jump all in the stands. And so you see the rest is just history. There's a special bond between the players and fans, you see.
He's dropping lyrics right there for you, for those of
right
you that are too young to reference it. But I knew it right away.
Exactly.
So Tausch can tease me and say that I'm stirring up the pot, but the truth of the matter is
that does not
become popular without you, period.
No.
I had no clue nothing happened in 94 with that.
If you Google it, it says Robert Brooks popularized the Lambo Leap. I mean, that's what I did.
Okay, we need to improve. I'm going to go and fix the Wikipedia page.
I own the trademark for it, so for the word Lambo.
So wait, do I owe you royalties every time I say it?
Yes.
Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Robert, last thing, because I know you got other folks you want to see, all your former teammates.
Let me tell you something. It's raining. It's not great out. Robert might just stay for the whole show.
I'm not speaking
for Robert here, but.
Great golf course, though. I played
beautiful
it
course.
Beautiful, man.
I wish
I could have played. I'm all right. I play golf. I love golf. Yeah, I love golf.
trying to get Jason to break 200. He won't play. So that's a whole conversation for another day.
We'll keep working on that. I appreciate you sharing that with Robert. So, Robert, back in 96, you obviously had the major knee injury. Medicine has come a long way in 20 years. You know, Tausch had two ACL tears, but he's an offensive lineman. He doesn't have to recapture what you had to recapture. When he came back in 97 and had a 1,000-yard season alongside Free, I'm curious, Christian Watson, obviously you're following the team since you're able to break down Romeo Doubs, et cetera. So when you look at Christian Watson, and, and I, again, I understand it's 20 years later, but what are the challenges for him coming back from an ACL as a super-fast wide receiver as opposed to a big right tackle like Tausch?
Well, coming back, you know, I was able to come back fairly fast, but I was known for my off-season training. You know, I don't know how he trains in the off-season. You know, I went about it a completely different way. I kind of just – headlong. I mean, I could run in so many weeks, and I was just – it was just a very, very fast turnaround for me. So a lot of getting – the getting used to the way it felt, I got to that stage early, and so I was able to test it early, and I didn't miss a practice. You know, I think I went through all training camp and went through the whole entire season, didn't miss practice or anything, didn't miss – I don't think I missed a game after coming back from that. Now, with Christian, again, I don't know his off-season regimen, but if he has a great off-season regimen, I think he should be fine. Even back then when we were with the medicine and the type of rehab and things like that we had, now it's, you know, you got red light therapy. You got all these different new technologies, oxygen therapy and things like that that can help you recover a lot faster. I think if he dives into those things, I think he can be right back to where he was. Maybe better.
Do you think if you would have had that stuff? I mean, I remember because I was. It was sad that you know, you played again in '98, and you just had all the subsequent issues. You sat out '99. Yeah. You came back and played, I think, with the Broncos for a little while in 2000, right?
Yeah, because what happens is, you know, when you're finally tuned, you know, you get one little thing off, and you, let's say you lose a couple of degrees in flexion in your knee or something like that, it throws your gait off, and then that's when I started having the back issue.
Right.
And then the hamstring pulls. I would always pull my left hamstring, you know, my back would tighten up. And so it was always this, like, cascading issue, and I just thought that, hey, listen, I still have the wire in my knee. You know, we got the old – back then you had the wire and the screws, and it's a whole other type of surgery, so – you know, I was fortunate to be able to come back at all during that time.
Well, it was great covering you, whether you remember me or not, and it was awesome to catch up with you today.
Hey, the fact that you got some love for Jump in the Stands, because that's a great song. I mean, even if it's not mine, it's a great song. I'm just telling you.
We will have Hunter producing back in the studio, track it down, the digital version, so we can play it during the show.
Hey, listen, Robert, I think it's on Apple Music, man. You can get it, brother.
Let's go.
Yeah,
great.
Come on. Now.
Perfect.
Come on,
Chase, get it out there.
Listen to the CD when I want to hear it.
Okay.
But we look forward to you releasing the follow-up hit on our airwaves.
It's called Lambo Leap, y'all. I'll tell you the title.
Okay. Robert, we appreciate your time, buddy. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
That is Robert Brooks, the man who made the Lambo Leap famous after it was invented by Leroy Butler. We will have more from the Tellurian celebrity golf outing, including Tausch. But Tausch has to tell us first about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed. There is no better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now, because Pella is offering up to 6 years of 0% fines. Set your free in-home consultation. You commit to nothing at this point. They'll listen to your vision and suggest the Pella materials and customizations to make it a reality. Get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Certain restrictions do apply. This deal ends May 31st, so visit PellaWI.com to learn more.
We will see if we can get a different camera angle so we can see both Jesse and Tausch and whoever else may join them.
I think the Magic Man. I think coming up next is going to be the Magic Man, I do believe.
Oh, another one of our favorites. He's been a friend of our show for a long time. We look forward to that. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Now you see, the rest is just history. Now there's a special bond between the players and fans, you see. From now on, I'm gonna show them much love. Every time I score, I'm going to get me a hug from a Packer fan. The best in the land, I'ma never stop jumping in the stands, my man. They make you.
Robert Brooks's Jump in the Stands. Is that 1997? 96, 97 it came out. Thanks to Robert for spending some time with us, giving us his insights into wide receiver dynamics, among other things.
Pretty interesting stuff there.
Super interesting. I smell a double dip.
So I think it's definitely double dippable. Just like, what is, Pizza Hut's got a triple dippable.
The cheesy bites.
Chipotle.
I don't understand the Sterling Sharp dynamic. I guess I just...
Sure you
have
do.
You had a oh, I mean, I do. I went on the team. Why I say this, and I think Robert Brooks doesn't get enough credit, because this golden age of, well, I can't even say golden age of Packer football, from a receiver standpoint, the fact that it's carried out, Robert Brooks is kind of the trailblazer in that.
Indeed.
And I hadn't ever really looked at it. And I think he gets a lot of short shrift when it comes to,
totally,
because
agree.
He was injured during that Super Bowl run. What he did and how he approached it and how he taught Antonio Freeman had a butterfly cascade, however you want to look at it, effect that, just like with me, I saw how Frankie Winters and Marco Rivera treated me. You want to do that to Bulaga and to Josh Sitton, because it's not, I don't think it's like that everywhere. And we've always said, well, the receiver spot here, you've had all this talent, you've never really had the diva. Like, you've had guys, and trust me, there's stuff behind the scenes that people don't know about, and that's fine. But when you have those guys leading and guys are seeing it, it repeats itself. That's how culture's grown.
Right.
And I think Robert Brooks is completely undervalued in how important that piece of this whole thing goes. It has to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can make a really good argument. It started with him. The Lambeau leap and the fact that nothing happened in 94, like, there's just a lot there. He saw how things went with a certain wideout and said, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to pout and be a baby when they come and tell me, hey, we're trying to get a guy better than you in here. And instead, what does he do? Goes up and lights up 102 catches. That's what this is about. And kudos to him, man. I knew his story. I did not know it to that degree. I love when you learn something, and I just learned something.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
Yep.
He was great to cover, and it was nice that he shared that. Because here's the question I have for you, though, because he tells that story. It is a great story. It does take a level of self-confidence, and there is no I in team to be willing to mentor other guys, right? I've always thought that is one of the great things about the teams I've gotten to cover. You know, Raleigh McKenzie helping you did not help Raleigh McKenzie's own job prospects, right? It helped the team. It helped you, but he did it anyway. Robert Brooks, let's be honest, when he started to have injury issues with his back and his hamstring, as he talked about after the ACL, it opened the door for Free to be the guy.
And it bounced City.
Right. Yeah, what is it that allows you guys, because I've always thought that was one of the coolest things about a healthy culture of an NFL team. And I believe me, you had some teams that they weren't as good about it as others. But I always thought that was amazing that, because there's got to be part of you that if you're insecure, you're like, well, I'm not going to help him, like a certain quarterback might have said about the first-round pick, because the feeling is, I'm not going to help him take my job. What does it take to be able to do that? Because you did do it for Brian Bulaga and those other guys.
I think there's just a watching, again, what happens before and understanding that
you need to have team success to have any type of success, because if you aren't winning or if you're not trending in the right way, once they bring in a new coach or new administrator, like, that's how you build things, is you establish trust with people and they see and understand there's a value in that. The Packer way, or Packer people, as Ted Thompson used to say, that's what this is about. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that bond with your teammates, that doesn't mean you want guys to take your job. And trust me, you can work hard and do all that stuff, and if you still want to be better and you want to establish yourself. But you being a jerk store to somebody else is not going to help your team, and it's not going to help you as a player. And I think you get that pounded home. Now, I'm not going to sit there and tell guys, hey, you need to do all that. Now, if they ask, you're going to tell them what you think and how you believe. And I think there's a fundamental difference in how you approach in that way.
So now that I have eyes on both of you, at least on video, I do not have eyes on the rest of the 360 scene. Do we have others approaching, or is this a good time to tell us about Coors Light right now?
Well, I'm going to tell you about the American Family Insurance Championship that returns to Madison with two new exciting changes this year. Wisconsin's own Steve Stricker hosts the PGA Tour Champions event June 6th through the 8th. We'll be out at the TPC Wisconsin on the 6th, its new home, of course, which is the TPC Wisconsin. The AmFam Champ also debuts a new team competition this year. Two-person teams will compete in best ball and scramble formats. The American Family Insurance Championship, June 6th through the 8th. Get details and ticket information at amfamchampionship.com.
Wilde and Tausch rolls on from the Tellurian golf outing at Trapper's Turn in the Dells next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
The East is set.
Oh, what a big shot!
The Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks go head-to-head in Game 1. Coverage begins today at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Presented by Indeed.
Tausch and Jesse roll on from the Tellurian Celebrity Golf Outing in the Dells. I see a lot of pointing. Jesse, how are things going over there?
On-site producing. We're doing a heck of a job here, making sure we can get alerts. So here's the thing. Because it's raining, a lot of guests are hanging out here in the clubhouse.
And they all want to come on the show.
There's a lot of fun going on. A lot of people we're seeing that we haven't seen for a while. This is a fun time for all, but it is a little bit of organized chaos as we're trying to sift through everything here. So if you came out of the basement and came here with us today, you would be able to experience it with us here in person. But instead, you're over there and you're like, what's going on over there?
That's the way you chose to take that, huh? Okay.
Jason, I don't know if you noticed, I've been thrown under the bus quite a bit this week.
I'll say this, Jesse, since he called for Pat Murphy to get fired, they're undefeated.
3-0,
which is pretty good.
That has clearly been a game changer. All right, well, I would just say this. I would like to be nimble with so many of your guests. A lot of a lot of pointing, a lot of waving, a lot of hey, what's ups. So hopefully we've got some folks that'll sit down with you when they become available.
There we go. We got the Magic Man. We got the Magic Man joining us.
Joining us now. Giving up Jesse's headphones to make this possible. Maybe you could give up your seat as well. He is another one. Wow, you guys got two cameras operating. What an operation it is over there. It is the great Don Majkowski on Wilde and Tausch, longtime friend of the show. Don, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing really well. Voice is a little raspy today.
Oh, you were singing last night, right?
No, we weren't singing. But
oh, just jabbering.
Just jabbering, talking a lot, you know. So
I have been. So for anybody that doesn't know, Don is a musical
Would you say guru?
I would say genius.
It's a hobby.
Yeah, it's a hobby.
I'm a musician.
But you played, and this is when you were playing.
Yeah.
You went over to the old Rush Center, Brown County Arena.
Correct.
And you played with?
Poison.
Poison.
Brett Michaels and Poison.
Can you imagine that?
On stage. It was back in 1990, and there was 20,000 people there. And this was back when Poison had the number one song in the country, Every Rose Has a Thorn, right? So Brett Michaels and his management team got a hold of me. They heard that I had played his song a lot, and they invited me to come up and play with him in concert. Although the day before, they're like, "Man, we got to see you at soundcheck rehearsal because
wanted to see what you had,
dude. We can't see, but it's just all blabber. Or can you really do it?" So when I got there, the band was all up there, and Brett Michaels, he was like, "All right, dude." He shook my hand. He goes, "You're me. I'm going to sit in the stands and watch. You do the whole song by yourself with my band." And we did it, and they were like high five, and it was really good. And the band was like, "Oh my God, Brett, he plays guitar way better than you." So it was fun.
Were you more nervous for that than when you're taking snaps at Lambeau against the Bears?
No, I wasn't nervous. Either way.
Singing, you weren't nervous?
No, because I played in a band since high school, and I played.
Yeah, but in front of 25,000 people.
Yeah, man. That was probably the first time that I played in front of that many people, but I had played in front of people before, and I ended up becoming really good friends with Darius Rucker and Hootie and the Blowfish, and those guys invited me. I played with them probably like eight to nine times in concert, played at Summerfest at the Miller Stage and 20,000 people there, and played with them all over different cities. So I met them at the Dan Marino Celebrity Golf Tournament like back in the early or late 90s, early 2000s.
Did Marino hand out isotoner gloves at his golf outing?
I think he did.
He should.
No, he did. He put it in every player's bag, yeah. Isotoners, and, a CD of, Ace Ventura that he was in, you know what I mean? Came with it.
Yeah, dolphin, whatever that dolphin said. So, but if you were out here golfing and you had 1,000 people lined up on you, that would make you nervous. You'd kill somebody.
I actually played in a celebrity golf.
You don't get nervous about anything.
No, I
remember that.
Yeah, it was me, you, Favre, and the kicker.
Yep. Longwell.
Longwell.
Yep.
And, doing that definitely makes
sense. Because
golf is the worst, man. Teeing up in front of a crowd, man, that's not your specialty. Oh, you just pray for, contact.
Just no death. Yeah. You literally just walk out of the building, I just want to kill anybody.
And even if, we're pretty decent players, and back then I was, but still, that's not your expertise, and golf is just, it's nerve-wracking.
So, Magic, I always love kind of catching up with you. How you feeling? I know you've battled a bunch of stuff, and this is, this is kind of the stuff that, all of us former players, as we get older, it's, How are you doing physically? Because I know that's been a battle, for years.
I had a really rough year, man. I had 3 right shoulder rotator cuff surgeries in the last year.
So you got no sleep.
On the same shoulder.
Can't sleep with a rotator cuff.
No, and then, I kept on. I was supposed to be in a sling for 8 weeks after the first surgery. My fault. I felt really good after 6. I took it off, and I was doing things and retore. Second time, something happened. It retore again. And then third time we had it. I finally went and saw Pat McKenzie.
Yep.
Packers orthopedic from even when I played, and he set me up with a hand and shoulder guy. Sean Hannigan, shout out, in Hand and Surgery Center in Appleton, and he did a great job. Yeah, he did a great job for me. And so I'm recovering from that and just getting to a point where, it's feeling a lot better. But now I'm dealing with lower back and neck stuff that we don't need to get into. But
yeah, I didn't want like your whole hip, but
it's
I just
always
want,
something, dude.
I always like to make sure people understand when they're saying, "Oh, guys shouldn't do this and do this," and it is a tough business that you get just get beat up, and you keep seeing it when you come to golf outings like this. I'm always back when I was in my 30s. You're like, "Oh," and now as I'm getting closer to 50, it's like, "Oh."
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm 61 now, so it makes it really a lot harder. But, what really I miss so much is, when I come to these golf tournaments, I haven't been able to play golf for a decade because of my injuries. It's just too hard, and if I would even try, I wouldn't be able to walk for a week. My back is fused. My neck is fused. I have artificial hips and ankles fused, and go on and on, man. But it's just too hard, and I miss it. So I come out here and support causes like this, but when I'm at a golf tournament, it's the – hardest thing to not want to get
you want to tee
there.
It up and
for
compete
sure.
A little bit no
yeah,
doubt
so I hang out at the 7th hole with all the wives and have cocktails with the wives. I take pictures when everybody comes through at my hole with the foursomes, and that's what I do. so I'm hanging out with the girls, which doesn't suck, but they're a lot of fun.
That's what Jesse does, too. Yeah. That's what Jesse likes doing.
Yeah.
I thought for sure you were going to say that's what Jason does when he's out.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Jason, what do you got?
So, Don, a couple things. And first, I do want to turn serious for a second because of what you just talked about with Tausch, with your shoulder and the other stuff you deal with. Because I know you have been at the forefront of this argument. I have said this repeatedly about the NFLPA, that if you really want to bargain and the NFL owners really want an 18th game on their schedule, then demand lifetime health insurance coverage. Do you think that players are starting to understand that eventually they will be former players like you and like Tausch, who has got his bum knee and can barely play pickleball effectively? Do you think we'll ever get through to the current players who vote on these CBAs to understand, hey, someday you're going to need this coverage and you're going to need it longer than 5 years after you're out of your career?
The reason I don't know if they'll ever really understand, the present players, is because they make so much money nowadays, man, compared to what we did back in the day. And, you know, they have the opportunity to set themselves up so well financially because of the money they're making. I mean, you know, gosh, tens and, you know, sometimes hundreds. It's crazy. So I don't think they really would ever understand, honestly, when they retire, how bad, you know, their bodies will hurt, and you know, how much they will need their insurance. But see, even the current players, they have such way better insurance than what we have. They have so much better, way better pensions. They're going to be fine. If like there's a current player who played 10 years, like when I played back in the day, they're going to be making like probably $1 million in their pension yearly. And you know, back, you know, I don't want to tell you what we make.
Not as much
in a day, but it's not six figures. So it's a totally different day and age. But God bless these young guys, and I'm so happy for them, because this is what we fought for as older players for so long, is for these young, you know, for the guys to be getting taken care of better, and they certainly have an opportunity to be really well taken care of. And hopefully, the hardest thing for players now is just to be smart with their money, because that's you know, the money they're making, they think will never run out. Very difficult.
So I want to get your thoughts on where Jordan Love is as he goes into his third season as the starting quarterback. But I follow you on Twitter, and I have to ask, have you stopped crying from the wedding of your daughter? Because you admitted you were very emotional, and you know I love that sort of thing. So how are you recovering from the wedding?
That's good. No, you know what? I knew I was going to be emotional when it came to my daughter's wedding, but, I mean, I didn't know I was going to be that emotional. There were several times during the day, like the first reveal, daddy-daughter reveal, you know, when I first turned around, she tapped me on my shoulder, and I saw her, bald, and then, you know, walking her down the aisle, then, of course, my father of the bride's speech, and then the father-daughter dance was the worst. So she didn't tell me what song she was going to play, right?
And was it Poison?
No. Guns N' Roses. No, that's good.
Thanks.
No, it was.
I thought you'd like that.
It was a song by Mariah Carey, Hero. Then a hero comes along.
Oh, man.
And she's singing
boy.
It to me. You know, and they only last about a minute. They don't play the whole song. But I looked in the audience at all the dads, and when she was singing, like, I'm her hero, it was emotional. So, yeah, I definitely. But I stopped crying. I'm finally. But every time I hear that song now, man, in my car by myself, I'm start crying a little bit.
Well, congratulations.
It's okay.
We are happy for the father of the bride, and I did enjoy that when I saw it over. It was over the weekend, I think. But all right, so two other things. One, let's talk a little bit about Jordan Love, because I know you watch this team religiously. I know you're plugged in. You obviously know a hell of a lot about quarterbacking. What did you see from him year one, year two, and how pivotal of a year three is this for him to kind of really hit his stride, do you think?
Yeah, I think this is the year where he's really going to step it up and really have a full understanding of the offense. He's got a great supporting cast around him. And I think this year will really be the telltale, you know, what kind of quarterback he's going to be long-term, because you know, he had flashes of greatness, you know, his first 2 years, but there was also, you know, moments that with his just his body language and his, like, I want to see him get a little more aggressive, a little more fire under his butt, man. Like, you know, get in the huddle and be a little more controlling of the situation. Sometimes it just looks like he's a little bit passive, but I guess that's, you know, you can't change who you are as personality wise. Mm-hmm. You got to be who you are. You can't try to be somebody else. But so he's got to learn within his own personality how to you know, turn his thing and be a great quarterback. He's got the ability, and he's such a smart kid. I love him as a kid. I met him several times. He's a good dude, and I know his teammates love him. So I'm rooting for him big time, man. I love Jordan. Love, you know, I do. I love some love.
Magic, is that something that you can learn and get more comfortable with? Were you real vocal right from the jump when you got in that huddle?
Yeah, it's something that you can't teach. You know what I mean? I think especially quarterbacks. I mean, you have to have an extreme amount of confidence. Not arrogance. I hate arrogance, but you have to have that extreme amount of confidence.
It's a fine line, right?
No.
Okay.
I don't like arrogance. Is you know, telling people how great you are. You know, just an arrogant how you handle yourself. Kind of like, you know, Jay Cutler was arrogant. You know, my buddy Jeff George, who I backed up for a year in Indy, he was arrogant, and I told him that.
I was looking at it like I can fit that ball through any window.
That's just extreme confidence.
Okay.
And that's cool. Okay, but like, you know, arrogance is not good. You got to be humble at times, you know, knowing when, you know, you got to accept the responsibility for when things didn't go wrong. But to teach leadership qualities is, I think it's just inborn. Mm-hmm. I really do. I mean, you can watch other players and learn from them, but, like, you're going to be who you are. You can't try to be somebody who you're not, because your teammates will look and see right through that, mm-hmm. and they won't respect it. So hopefully they'll respect you for what you are, and that's the way it works. So,
well, that's interesting that you say that, because Matt LaFleur has said he wants Jordan to be more vocal, and the question that I have is, can you be someone that you're not? And are you asking him to do something that is outside of his comfort zone?
Well, Jason, do you think he can be? Do you think Jordan Love can be more vocal?
So I think, and again, I've covered him now. The first couple of years, we weren't in the locker room because of COVID. Getting to know him, I think he prefers the one-on-one interaction, and I think he prefers not to embarrass or really chew guys' asses out. I think that's prefers to go about it.
Yeah, but I think as you gain more years under your belt, you become more comfortable being mm-hmm. the leader, because you know the guys respect you more because you're the guy. Even though he was the guy the last couple of years, you know, it was his first year starting, his second year. Now it's his third year, and he's going to have guys younger than him he's playing with, and they're going to look up to him. So he needs to step up a little bit and, you know, take that leadership role to the next level. I think he will. He's got all the tools, and you know, I'm really hoping he does.
So did that because you mentioned the flashes, and he makes throws, and I think there's so much stuff to love about Love, as you put it, but the consistency and not making the boneheaded mistakes, the lateral and the ball under your hand, and you know, you want to have that. I can make those plays, but you have to understand circumstance. Is that just something that only experience will teach you?
It will, and you know, he's got a bad habit of throwing off his back foot. And
so did Brett, and so did Aaron, though.
Understandably, but, like, you know, there's only a few guys gonna be really good at that. And I mean, he's done it, and he's been successful doing that. But I think he could correct it. You know, it's correctable and something he could work on to be even more effective. So I'd like to see him work on not throwing off his back foot so much. Aaron was ridiculous. You know, Brett did it as well too. So, but you know. Like I said, there's only a few guys that can do that consistently for a long time.
You ain't kidding.
I'd like to see him just work on that a little bit.
All right, Don, last thing for you so we can let you go.
Yes, sir. Okay.
You know, I wouldn't go so far as to say we're friends. We've talked a number of times. I always love it when you join us. I do have a favor to ask.
Sure.
Can we get the Kostakos brothers to reproduce the Magic Man poster? Because I don't have one. Do you have one at home somewhere? These
Tausch
are one of the greatest posters ever.
Tausch.
My wife has one. She loves it.
Yeah, Tausch has. Yeah, his wife's got one.
She's a big fan.
We need to recreate.
And she's not out at hole seven with you today. It's just
Oh, my gosh, yeah. No, you know what? Tausch asked me a couple of years ago. He goes, dude, I hear this. I always hear there's this Magic Man poster of you. He goes, do you have a picture of it on your phone? So I finally showed him. He was like, okay, that's pretty good. It's just a funny thing. It was a cool thing they did back then.
Yeah.
You know, whatever your personality was, Costacco Brothers, it was a great payday. Man, and we shot that in Lambeau Field. And so that was probably one of the deals that I made the most money out of the little money that we made back then.
Well, I think we need to get them to redo them because I think they would sell very well from a nostalgia standpoint.
Did you see the little skit I did this year for the introducing the opening of last year's season? And Jordan Love was in a skit, and I was in a skit, and I dressed up like that poster.
Yes.
In the skit. Did you see it?
I don't know if I did.
It was last year's schedule release.
It was introduced.
Oh, last year's schedule release. Okay, this year's schedule release.
So the Packers called me and they said, hey, would you be willing to, maybe dress up in the old Magic Man outfit and be a part of the Packers
release? And you're like, and I have that on all the time anyway.
I'm like, yeah, I know. I wore that last night and my wife loves that. No. No, actually, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to pass because, I mean, I was 25 years old, you know, back then. I'm 61. I'm not putting that on again. And I respectfully declined. And then after I thought about it for a little bit, I'm like, you know what? Hell with it. I'll make fun of myself and have a good time with it. And we did. It was cool.
It was such a great poster. And there are some great ones. And that is one of the all-time greats. So
that sweet. Is fantastic. Look at
Magic.
That.
You're the best, man. We love it when you spend time with us. Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Great job.
That is the great Don Majkowski. I assume Tausch will be having a Coors Light with him at some point in the evening.
Well, I can't speak for Don, but I will have a Coors Light. Even when it's a little bit overcast, Coors Light is going to be in my hand. When I need a moment to chill, you know, it's born in the Rocky Mountains. It's only 102 calories, and it is refreshing. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
More from the Tellurian Celebrity Golf Outing. It's Wildy and Tausch.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the Baltimore Orioles.
Ground ball back up the middle. It'll sneak into center field. A base hit for Contreras. Streaking around third is Terang.
Today on 100.5 ESPN.
Wildy and Tausch rolls on from the Tellurian Celebrity Golf Tournament at Trapper's Turn. Tausch is out seeking out celebrities, since he's not one, to join us as the show continues. If you have not seen, and I will post this next, WLUK, Fox 11 up here in Green Bay, has on their YouTube page the piece they did on Don Majkowski joining Poison on stage back at the old Brown County Veterans Arena. It is wild, man. It is awesome. That was in 1990, as Don said. But man, oh man, he is such a great guy to talk with. I never covered him as a player, but he can do it all, man. He can talk about his daughter's wedding and NFL players' health insurance, and he could talk about awesome posters from the 90s, and he could talk about Jordan Love and give his insights into him. I thought his insights into leadership were really helpful. So we appreciate him stopping by. we are going to have trouble controlling the clock today. Not even Mike McCarthy himself will do a worse job than I will. On
the only thing missing is Bulaga.
We got every button hit.
So what we're going to do is Tausch is tracking down some more of either his former teammates or other Packers from yesteryear. We've had a couple of Packers Hall of Famers already. If you joined us late, if you missed some of this, first of all, as I just posted on social media, if there's ever a time, if you're an 80s or 90s Packers fan, to join us, today's the day. So a lot of other great guests potentially joining us throughout the show. If you missed it, though, then make sure you've downloaded the ESPN Wisconsin app. All new. It's got live listening, which you could be using right now as I'm talking. It's got show replays, which is where you're going to want to go to hear Robert Brooks talking about the history of the Lambeau Leap, or to hear Magic Man talking about his career. Exclusive content. It's all on the new ESPN Wisconsin app. You know the saying, your state, your teams, your ESPN. The Wisconsin sports fans' best way to stay in touch with their favorite ESPN Wisconsin shows and keep up with their favorite teams. It's in the App Store, both for Apple and Android, the ESPN Wisconsin app. All right, we need to take a two-minute break for the top of the hour, and then we will have another stellar guest joining us from the Tellur. I'm not going to tell people who it is. You're going to have to stay tuned. In 2 minutes, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.